You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me, as always, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's happening, bro?
Man, I am excited. People talk about getting excited for Christmas, and I remember being 7 or 8, and we get to this point in time of the year. And I, you know, every night I'd have a problem sleep because I'm so excited for Christmas. Then I realized as an adult, if you work a pretty normal schedule or whatever, mm-hmm. you get Christmas every week. It's called off days.
Oh, it's like every time you wake up and don't have to go to work, it's like Christmas morning, huh?
Exactly. It's like you just wake up, and even if you have a bunch of shit to do, you're still like, but I don't gotta work.
It's awesome. So we were just talking before we went on air, and you said that WrestleMania tickets go on sale today?
They go on sale today at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I believe that's 6 a.m. in Alaska. Shout out to my friend Stacy who listens sometimes. WrestleMania tickets. Everybody's going to be rushing to get their tickets. Understand there's going to be a Ticketmaster has a new queuing system. When you go to buy your ticket, it'll tell you what area you're in line, how many people are in front of you. Do not refresh your screen. Do not back out. Do not do anything because it will literally put you back to the end of the line. So that is your tip from your WrestleMania expert, Floyd. I am not buying my ticket today. Unlike some people, like I know a lot of people are buying their ticket today. I'm kind of picky on where I sit. Like last year, I went through Ticketmaster on the day of, and I didn't really like the seat that I got, and I switched it to the other side. Then I didn't have a great experience because I didn't sit in my normal section. So this year I decided I'm just going to let y'all go out, get the tickets, and then I'm going to go StubHub and pick my seat.
So you're going to pay aftermarket value for your seat this year?
I am going to pay aftermarket value because it makes for a better experience.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Because I like to sit in a certain section, and they don't generally have that section available, like when you're buying the tickets originally, and it's like, it's Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that stuff, and it's just like, I got all these bills. I don't really have the money now, and I would always make sure I could buy the ticket, and sometimes I wouldn't even get the ticket I want. And if I just wait till February, maybe it's a little bit more expensive. But I get to sit where I want to sit.
I got you. How many WrestleManias you been to now?
New York will be 8.
Yeah. Woo. Floyd, the expert. Man.
Yeah. Every year I get better. Every year, like, I went back to 30, and I spent an exorbitant was the one I went back to, and I spent an exorbitant amount of money. And then 31 was in California, and I spent a little less. I got a little smarter. 32 was in Dallas, so I lived with my family, so I spent I got to drive my own car, and I stayed with my family, so that's probably the least I've ever spent on a WrestleMania. 33 was in Orlando. I did Disney and Universal and all that stuff. I did a 2-week thing there, so that's probably the most I ever spent because I just did a whole vacation thing. And then last year, 34 New Orleans was again. I did it pretty cheap. because, you know, I've learned lessons. It's like, there's a, like, when you, just one thing I've learned. I'm just going to say one thing I've learned. I used to go, and they do this WrestleMania Superstore, right?
Right.
And I'd bring, like, $350, right? And I'd buy, like, all these WrestleMania shirts and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I get home, and 2 weeks later, they'd be on clearance on WWE.com. So, you know, now last year I went in, I bought one shirt, and it was the shirt I planned on wearing to WrestleMania, and then a couple other people had asked me to get them shirts, so I picked those up. Yeah, every other WrestleMania shirt I bought after I got home after that, and I paid like $10 per shirt.
That's what's up, dude. To
$35 for a shirt when you buy it at the store.
Woo. And you didn't have to bring it home either. You didn't have to, like, carry it home.
And you don't have to pay for shipping. And that's another thing. Always fly Southwest.
Always fly Southwest? Is that where you get one bag for free?
Yes.
One checked baggage for free?
Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah. Like me, I travel pretty light. So, like,
you fit everything into one bag.
I can fit everything into one bag. But I like to buy the chair, or you'll find something you want to buy there. Yeah, make sure you have that one bag shipped free.
I dig it. All right, man. Well, today is our prediction show. We're going to do NXT TakeOver War Games 2, followed by Survivor Series. I'm just going to kick each match to you, and you tell me what you think is going to happen. Now, I always like to tell people, or remind everyone of this before or at the beginning of our prediction shows, that this, we go off of what you think's going to happen, not what you want to happen. So if Floyd or myself gives you a prediction that sounds like a super, super, super crappy story, that's what we think is going to happen. That's not what we want to happen necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to shout that so no one tweets us and like, dang, y'all would be the worst bookers ever. we're just predicting how horrible WWE is going to book this show. But shall we start?
Hey, well, let's get it on.
All right. So the first match I'm going to kick it off with is from NXT War Games, and it is Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano. Who you got, man? What do you think is going to happen?
I am going with Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano.
Okay.
And so two things. So going with him winning, and then Aleister Black getting called up on probably Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm writing it down. You think Gargano goes over clean?
I don't think he goes over clean. I actually think Candice LeRae is going to have something to do with the result.
Uh-oh, you think she's turning heel?
Oh, yeah. I think she's going to go with her husband.
Uh-oh, I dig it. Next match, we got 2 out of 3 falls between Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship. What's going down?
I think Baze wins the first round.
Okay.
I think she gets to tap out. And then I think Kairi wins the next two. And Kairi becomes the second 2-time NXT champion.
Okay. Do you think Shayna Baszler is getting called up after this or what?
I think the whole four horsewomen are getting called up, I would say, soon. I think they might be a Royal Rumble call up. But I think the point is to get the belt off of Shayna so she is prepared for a call-up.
Okay. See, I'm going to go different with you. I agreed with you on the first one, but I think that they are going to keep Shayna Baszler down there for a little bit longer. I don't know why. I don't have nothing really to base that on. I just think that they're going to keep her down there a little bit longer. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Next match, NXT title is on the line as the champion and the namesake of my future child, Tommaso Ciampa versus Velveteen Dream. Who you got, man?
I'm going Tommaso Ciampa. I personally see him holding it till WrestleMania.
Ooh, who do you think he's gonna take on at takeover, the takeover that's the weekend of WrestleMania? Who do you think he's going to
be? I think it'll be like Matt Riddle.
Already? That quick, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Riddle's one of those guys. He was such a big get, and he was such a big indie star. You put the belt on him. And if you think about it, by then, that's April. He'll be with the company 7 months.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they put the belt on McIntyre pretty much like he came in. I think he had like a mini feud, and then he was fighting for the title.
Really? Was it that quick?
Yeah, it was pretty damn quick. It was within 3 months of him debuting, he was NXT champion.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that quick. That is quick. Yeah, I got you. The main event of NXT War Games 2 will be an actual War Games match between Undisputed Era, all four members, that includes the returning Bobby Fish, taking on the War Raiders, Ricochet, and Pete Dunne. What's going to go down, man?
I think, of course, and we called it, Undisputed Era did win the main advantage.
Right.
And it was funny. They won that match. The luckiest group in the world. But when you look at the match, there's only one way of breaking down. You see the story kind of happen on Wednesday. I think Ricochet and Pete Dunne, I think they get towards the end of the match, Ricochet and Pete Dunne have some kind of miscommunication, and the Undisputed Era gets the win.
Yep, I'm going to agree with you on that one, dude. Can't go against Undisputed Era. I don't know what it is about Undisputed Era, but they are just so cool. They're the coolest thing in wrestling to me. It's not Bullet Club. It's Undisputed Era.
Well, and it's funny because they're more of a group,
you know? Right,
you know, like Cody does his own thing. The Bucks does their own thing. Kenny does his own thing. They're all like all very uniquely different personalities. It's like the Undisputed Era, like their gimmick is, you know, you haven't appreciated us for a while, but we're really the best. You just didn't know it yet.
Right.
And
right.
Adam Cole is just, he's great in a faction. That's what he does. He's one of those people, he should never not be in a faction.
That's true.
He's just so good at it.
And he plays that slimy heel to a T, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he has a monster swag. I mean, like, to me, it was like once you had a kind of a deficit on the main roster, that's the four I'm calling up. And I'm calling them up, and they're just going to be rabid, you know what I mean? It's just going to be like they never fight one-on-one, but they've kind of done that with the Shield, so I think the Undisputed Era is going to be a NXT product for a while as they keep building up that brand.
Man, I to be honest, I hope they stay down there too, man, because they're just doing such great things down there, like. And what do we have that shows us that if they get called up to the main roster that Vince won't screw it up somehow? You know what I mean? Like, you look at all the NXT call-ups that we've had, and the majority of them get screwed up. Let's be honest.
But, you know, the Shield were NXT call-ups.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm just saying.
But
the Shield were NXT call-ups.
But, I mean, that's one call-up in how many? You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, but you look at Braun Strowman, Nia Jax.
Well, Braun Strowman only had 3 NXT matches, and none of them were televised.
Alexa Bliss, Carmella, pretty much the whole women's division.
You think Carmella hasn't been screwed up?
No, she was the champion, and when they put the belt on her, that stuff she did with James Ellsworth, and she was the Money in the Bank champion for a long time, and it was gold.
And now she's doing dance breaks with, you know, with a 48-year-old guy that hasn't won a match in 2 years.
Yes, but before he got with Carmella, how often was R-Truth on TV? Now he's with Carmella, they're on TV every week.
Well, let's look at what about Asuka?
Asuka, she unfortunate timing for her.
Yeah,
Vince sees her as the same character as Ronda Rousey,
which is so dumb to me. I mean, I get it; they're both, you know, MMA centric females, but I mean, it's all different after that. You know what I mean?
But I'm just saying, That's what Vince sees her as, and that's why she is. That's why she's not booked right. And it's like he sees her as very similar characters. I only can push one of these similar characters at the same time.
I just don't get it.
And I mean, no one does. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Asuka's on SmackDown. She could still be doing her Asuka thing on SmackDown while Ronda's doing her Ronda thing on Raw, and then we build up to a huge Asuka versus Ronda match. But
which would be awesome.
Which would be awesome, but, you know, I'm just saying, I feel like there are some people that have been screwed up, but I think they kind of knew what position they were going to when they got drafted. Like, the Revival. I love the Revival. The Revival are my favorite tag team. I have multiple Revival shirts. I really love the Revival. But they're both under 6 foot. Not, like, less than 5'10", honestly. They're both shorter than me.
Right.
And so they're both a couple inches shorter than me. Vince doesn't like short people. You knew they weren't going far when they got called up.
I can't wait for that to change, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, that's why Johnny Gargano is very happy in NXT, and Tommaso Ciampa, very happy in NXT. Tommaso Ciampa is 5'7", you know what I mean?
That's incredible.
They're not going to push him, or I think he's listed at 5'10", so he's like 5'7", 5'8". They're not going to push him as the monster heel that he is on the main roster. Let him stay in NXT.
Do you remember when Tommaso Ciampa had his match against The Undertaker? Like, I know you've seen the pictures and stuff. Did you happen to be watching way back when?
I was watching, but I don't remember it, like, with any type of... I remember the character he played once they saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, because he looked completely different.
Right.
But now it's just like, no, I don't even remember it.
What was that? Was he a regular on WWE for a while?
No, he's a side character, like a lawyer. I think he played a lawyer.
Okay. See, because I've seen that, you know, hit the clips that he shared and stuff like that, but I do not remember that at all. I don't even... Do you remember what, like, time frame that was? I guess I probably should have looked that up, but I didn't even think about talking about it.
No, I don't. Nah, I mean, let me be honest. Tommaso Ciampa from Undertaker. 2005.
I'm going to research it one day and get the backstory on it.
I just pulled up the YouTube video, and yeah, he's got hair. And it's
he's glasses. Like in a suit or something, right?
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's go to the main roster show, which is Survivor Series that'll be on Sunday. About 48 hours from now, actually about 60 hours from now, right?
It probably starts in about 15 minutes, because you know how main roster pay-per-views are now. It's going to be like 17 hours long.
I don't know which matches will be on the pre-show. I figure one or two, right?
One, the 10-man tag.
Oh, the 10-man tag.
Or the 20-man tag.
Got you. And that was the one, that's the only one that I did not write down.
I got the list here.
You got the participants? All right, well, let's start off with that one then, man. So we're going to go start off with the 20-man tag team match, Raw versus SmackDown.
So as I understand it, if one of the tag members gets eliminated, it eliminates the whole team. So and technically it's like 5-on-5. So it's Bobby Roode and Ted Tagable, The Revival, The B-Team, Lucha House Party, and The Ascension. So from what I understand, it's going to be all three members of Lucha House Party and then the two members of Ascension versus the Usos, The New Day. I think we get all three members of them. Sanity, I think we only get like two members of them. I don't know which one. Gallows and Anderson and the Colognes.
Wow. They brought the Colognes in for some TV time, bro.
Yeah, they're the only ones marked with... This is the only match marked with the P on Wikipedia for a pre-show.
Oh, okay. Who do you got, man?
The Team SmackDown. I think the Usos and the New Day survive.
Yeah? I think I'm gonna agree with you on that one. I think I'm gonna piggyback your pick on that one right there.
I would like it to just be Sanity personally. That's what I would like, but yeah, that would be cool because I would like Sanity to matter again.
Yes, I know, right? I would like to see them look like they're about to lose and Nikki Cross somehow make her way down, show up out of nowhere, and help them win. I think that would be really cool. Let's move on to the cruiserweight title with the champion Buddy Murphy taking on Mustafa Ali.
I like it to. I'm going with the heart of 205 Live, Mustafa Ali. I was one of those people that thought he should have been the champion at WrestleMania. I love the AJ Alexander. It's just, if you ever watch his Twitter and his little camera phone videos, he puts a lot of passion and emotion and into being the Cruiserweight champion. And he's a really kind of, he's kind of, you know, like an Indian Seth Rollins. He's an attractive dude. So I just think he would be, he's what the 205 Live division needs.
Okay.
But Buddy Murphy is really good. I think it's going to be a hell of a match. It's like one of those things. I'm going to set the bar a little bit lower at like 3 3/4, like 3.75. The only reason is because they kind of they play around with the cruiserweight time sometimes. They don't sometimes get all the time they need.
Yeah. Like sometimes their matches seem a little like jam-packed, don't they? Because they cut out some selling because their time's cut, but they still want to put on a phenomenal match.
Yes, yeah. And a gift from Floyd. All of you that don't watch 205 Live, Leo Rush versus Cedric Alexander from this week. Mwah, the show was match was amazing.
I seen you share that in the club.
Yeah. And to that I say, after you watch it, just know you're welcome. It's just you didn't think it was going to be that good. It was really good. It's going to go underrated, and a lot of people aren't going to watch it because it was just kind of on a throwaway SmackDown, but it was a really good match.
I dig it. I am actually going to disagree with you on the Cruiserweight title match. I think, personally, that Buddy Murphy's going to hold on to that title, and I think he's going to keep the title until WrestleMania. I think he's going to drop it at WrestleMania.
The Juggernaut. Okay.
Yeah. Let's go with, let's do something fun here. Let's do the Women's Survivor Series match next. So that is the 5-on-5. Actually, technically right now it's 4-on-5. And let me read those competitors. So for Raw, we have Mickie James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Natalya and Ruby Riott from Raw, taking on SmackDown's Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and a fifth tag team member that is to be determined. Who do you got, Floyd, and why?
I would like it to be Nikki Cross as the fifth person.
Ooh, nice.
I think we're going to end up getting Lana because they like to give her a paycheck for some reason.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Maybe Mandy Rose, and I think Mandy Rose got talent. But I honestly, just looking at the group, unless they're really trying to get Nia Jax over right now, so I'm going to go with Nia Jax in the Raw team.
Yep, I actually agree with you on that one. And that was, I'm not just saying this because you said it, but I really figured that especially after this knockout blow, that she gave Becky, I think they're going to really make Nia Jax look tough. And same way with Tamina. I don't necessarily think they're trying to make Tamina look like the toughest broad in the world, but
but she's going to be Nia's side, you know.
She's going to be her heater, right?
Yeah. Question. So what do you think about all the heat Nia has been getting? As someone you were training last night, and, you know, you're working with workers. What do you think about all the heat Nia is getting?
Man, you know, I've been listening to a couple of different people, and they said she's got a history of hurting people.
Apparently, like Alexa's out because she got hurt in a match with Nia.
Yeah, and also did she dropped was it what's her name that comes out with Andrade Cien Almas? Zelina Vega.
Zelina
She
Vega.
either dropped Tamina on Zelina Vega's face or dropped Zelina Vega on Tamina's face, something like that. Anyway, she injured one of them as well. And if you it's hard for me because I'm still in training, so I don't want anyone to think like I'm trying to pass judgment as, I'm a greenhorn wrestler. Like I still haven't had my first match. But if the I mean, dude, like injuries speak volumes if there's multiple ones. You know what I mean? And it's not like when we had Seth Rollins that had two or three people get injured right there in a row with Finn Balor and Sting. People were quick to come out and defend Seth Rollins and say, hey, if you look at this, those guys got injured in matches with Seth Rollins, but those were not his fault. Finn Balor quickly came out and said, hey, I'm the one that used my right arm to brace myself on that buckle bomb on the guardrail when I shouldn't have. It was just a fluke thing, but it was still my fault. And I listened to Sting on Woo Nation when Ric Flair still had his podcast, and he said, I've taken that bump a million times, and I've always tucked my chin. For some reason, this time I didn't tuck my chin, and I hurt my neck. He's like, it wasn't Seth Rollins' fault. He's one of the greatest wrestlers I ever wrestled. It was my own fault. And we don't see that with Nia Jax. We don't see people coming out in defense of her because it's very obvious that it was Nia Jax's fault. She's only been wrestling like what, 3 or 4 years, I think.
4 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely think that she has some work to do. You know what I mean? I would not advocate like firing her. I know some people have, same way with the Brie Bella thing, people have said, fire her ass and stuff like that. I don't wish to see anyone lose their job because that's taking food off their table, But definitely, I mean, it seems like something that you would have to look at, don't you think? I mean, you injure three people, especially in, you might have inadvertently with the whole Becky Lynch thing and, blood in or up, it might be one thing. You might have turned that into a very almost, I'd say, a near iconic moment with the blood and her standing out in the crowd and all that. But at the same time, you did just, kill one of the most anticipated matches of this time period,
I completely agree.
Yeah, so I mean, I
No,
definitely think it needs to be something that should be addressed in some way, fashion.
Either more training or something. I do think the problem with it is her size. It's like when she messes up, it hurts more.
I could definitely see that. Yeah, because she's so and yeah, and we don't mean that size in a negative way, 'cause she's a big, beautiful
No.
woman and she's very muscular too. Like we're not using big in a negative connotation at all.
No, but she
Yeah,
is literally tw
when she does
yeah.
something, you're right. It has to hurt, right?
Yeah, she is literally twice the size of the people that she's working with. And the reason they have weight limits in boxing is because a larger man hitting a smaller man is not fair.
Right, right.
So in this case, you have a larger woman who I'm gonna guess Becky is 120. You know what I mean? And you got Nia Jax who's 280. Like
Right.
say her weight. She's 280 pounds. Yeah, if she messes up and hits you too hard, you're going out. As opposed to, let's say Carmella hit Becky the same way, she doesn't break her face.
Yeah, I don't. I agree with that. I don't think she does.
She might have a black eye, she might have a shine, but she doesn't have a she doesn't have a concussion and a bloody face because Carmella's like 115 pounds. It's
Yeah.
just the mistakes on Maya are so magnified because she's so much bigger and she's so much more physical than everyone else. That's not an excuse, it's a reason. Because
Yep.
I'm not asking you to excuse Nia. I'm saying she needs to be trained more to be like Big Show, who was more careful. Some of Big Show's punches look horrible because he has to pull back so much as to not really knock a person out.
Yeah, because that KO punch would be the real deal if he wanted
Yeah,
it
he would
to
really knock people out because he's a good 150 pounds heavier than most of his opponents. And that's at least, let's say somebody like Kofi, he's 200 pounds heavier than Kofi. His hand is as big as Kofi's face. If he accidentally swung with even half of his might, he would concuss Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
So that's basically, if you're looking at the size comparisons, that's basically what you're dealing with Nia Jax towards these women. So she has to err on the side of it not looking that good, but taking care of the people that she's with.
Yep, I agree. And like you said, it's not an excuse. It's a reason for her to be extra careful and to need more training.
Yeah, that's unlike. It's just like,
plain and simple.
Like she had. I mean, that was her responsibility. She turned around and she swung way too hard. You could just see the power behind her swing.
Yep.
And it's that was just way too hard. And it's like, I don't know. You know, you have people like Lana who thought she was hurting someone outside, and she just quit swinging. And people are like, oh, look what she did. I'm like, yeah, but that's her job. She is an actor.
Yeah.
She is acting.
Right, right.
She's not supposed to actually hurt people. She's acting.
Yep, I agree. The last thing that I'll say about it is I have read some people kind of talk shit to Nia Jax on Twitter for posting the picture of her hand and said, you know, hey, we ain't out here delivering mail. If I hurt somebody, I hurt somebody. I actually agree with Nia Jax doing that because I still like a little bit of kayfabe in my wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wasn't against her kind of creating a storyline out of it. But, you know, I definitely feel like behind the scenes there needs to be some remedial training done.
But, yeah, and she's not, yeah. Nia Jax is thick skin. That's the one thing. Nia Jax is not going to have some guy come out a week later and post an emotional post about how hard she works. You know, she doesn't need anybody to do that.
Right.
She's like, come on, bring it. And
yep.
She can ignore you because she knows what she's doing and she has the confidence to deal with that. And believe me, as a big person myself, she's been called worse than anything you can say online. But I can honestly say, I've always said this. This is a big thing for me. I just wish one person that has called for someone's job, I don't care what they're doing, I wish for one day they got the scrutiny on their job that Nia Jax, a football coach or whatever, gets on their job.
Yep, I agree 100%.
I want them to see what it's like to have 100,000 people watching your every move.
Can you imagine?
man. Remember when you moved all those boxes and you sat down in the back and you kind of nodded off for 15 minutes? You didn't mean to, but you nodded off. You're fired. You're sleeping on the job. I never sleep on the job. Oh, God, what's wrong with you? You're a waiter. You drop a glass. Fired. Because it's like that's the thing.
Yep.
It's especially on social media, is to call for people's jobs. And you have to think of how serious that is when you call for someone's job.
Yeah, man, it's their livelihood. It is absolutely their livelihood.
You're literally calling to take food off of their table.
Yep, I agree. I would never advocate for anyone to lose their job, but, you know, I've always, you know, advocated for certain people to have more training, and that's not just wrestling. We're just talking about wrestling right now, you know?
I agree with you. And my whole thing is, I will never say like my favorite football team is Florida State. I would never say Willie Taggart deserves to be fired. Even if he's like 1-10, I leave that to the AD. You know, because that's his job. You know what I mean? But I've never coached football. I don't know what it takes to get 85, 18 to 23-year-olds to do what I say.
Boy, you know that's got to be tough, man.
Yes.
You know
what
I mean?
To get on the same page and win. And it's just like, I don't know. I would get frustrated like day one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you think... Just to put that a little bit into perspective for people like you and I are just normal guys, right? Like our skill set is in talking about a fabricated sport in pro wrestling, right?
Absolutely.
Now take us, and even with That's our basically our only skill set, our main skill set. Now, imagine what our egos were like at 18 years old.
Yes.
How big our egos were and how little we would listen to adults. Now, take us and, you know, imagine how big our egos would have been if, you know, we were one of the top 50 football players in the nation at 18 years old. Imagine how big the ego would be at that point. And then put 52 of them together, you know, and then put them on a football team. You know what I mean? In a place that can, you know, in a place that's beautiful year round, like Florida, where they want to go out, chase women. They want to, you know, drink because, you know, they're kids. You know what I mean? They're 18 years old. Yeah. And imagine having to get these guys and get them to all be thinking about one, the same goal at the same time every day. You know, that'd be tough. Man, that's tough. That's got to be tough.
That's exactly the point I make when I tell people, you know, just think about their side of it. I mean, I know you don't see it, and all you see is your booster dollars and your TV or whatever in wrestling. But think about, like, even to be a shitty wrestler, how much work you have to put in to be that.
Shout out. That's me right here.
I'm just saying. I mean, you have to train and bust your ass to be a shitty wrestler, you know?
True. Very true.
To get to the level of good, you know, it takes a long time. And it's like, Nia checked a lot of boxes for WWE's diversity project, so they moved her up. She's a BBW, you know? She's a plus-size woman. She's of color, you know? She is related to The Rock, so she has lineage. She checks a lot of the marketing boxes for the WWE. Was she necessarily ready to be called up? Maybe, maybe not. But she was very marketable.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I got to get a little drink of water here, folks. I just been drinking my coffee. Now I'm feeling a little like my voice is going out.
Hey, I know how that is. But yeah,
next match, you ready for the next one? Yeah.
Ready for the next one.
All right. We kind of got a little off kilter there for a minute, but it all boiled down to neither one of us think Nia Jax should lose her job. Like, obviously she's, you know, a phenomenal athlete. They're just training to be done. You know, I know guys, you know, that's been wrestling for 12, 15 years and they never, you know, it's just like any other professional sport. You never stop training. You know what I mean? And Nia Jax needs to just, you know, continue training. And I will say, the last thing I'll say is I completely agree with you. Anybody that's calling for their job, I wish that they had the scrutiny on them for a 24-hour period like these professional athletes. Because we're hard on these professional athletes, you know?
Yeah, and you're just like, you don't do exactly what I want you to do. You should be fired.
Exactly, exactly. All right, let's go to the Men's Survivor Series match. And I got those participants written down right here, my friend. Let's see here. Get my old handwritten notes out. Let's start with Raw. So we have Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley. And they're taking on the SmackDown team, which consists of The Miz, Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, and Jeff Hardy. Floyd, who do you got and why?
On paper, this is a massive mismatch.
Yep, I agree. I was going to think of that myself, bro.
it should be Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman, and Bobby Lashley against the five people from SmackDown. You even got one guy on SmackDown that's not a full-time wrestler. You got one guy that's like 5'5". It's just like you got Jeff Hardy who can barely move. It's just like, this is where you lose kayfabe, because there's no reason the Raw team should lose this match. But I have a feeling that SmackDown's going to win.
You think so? You think they're going to pull one over on us?
Yeah, I think it'll end up being Ray that gets the win.
Uh-oh. Okay. I'm gonna go head-to-head with you on that one just to make it interesting. So I'm going to go Raw on that one.
You think they're going to go cookie cutter? I mean, like I said on paper, I mean, Raw should win like 5-0.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think they're actually, on that one, I'm going to predict that they're going to go with the very predictable outcome, which is Braun Strowman winning it. That's what I think they're going to do this year. That's just my prediction.
For some reason, I got Baron Corbin pissing off Braun Strowman, and he putting down quite a few people.
Yep, yeah, that'd be funny. let's go with the tag team titles match next, which I actually think is going to be a great match. I'm hoping that it's going to be a great match, and it's the Authors of Pain taking on the Bar. So you got four phenomenal athletes here, two great tag teams. Who do you got and why?
Dude, this is one of those matches. I hope they give them 20 minutes. I hope they give them a solid 20 because AOP has shown that they can put on a show. The Bar has shown that they can put on a show. The Bar is established as a great tag team. I think AOP needs to win more, so I think they're going to go with AOP.
Yep. I agree. I think I also pick an AOP. I think the Bar will probably be calling this match, and I think they're going to – I truly believe they're going to lead them to a phenomenal match here. I think Sheamus and Cesaro know what they're doing, and they're going to help these young guys get over.
And I love the fact that Sheamus can be as stiff as he wants because those two, both of the Occam and Razor are both former MMA fighters. So,
yeah,
they don't. If you potato them, they're not going to go crazy.
I like it. I like it a lot, man. Next, we have, man, if these two guys in this next match let loose, if they're allowed to let loose and really put on a show, this could be a phenomenal match. And it's the Intercontinental Champion Seth Rollins from Raw taking on the United States Champion from SmackDown, Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Who do you got in the live, Floyd?
Shinsuke, Dean causes Seth the match. I really don't want it to happen like that. I would like to me, Shinsuke and Seth Rollins is a dream match. Shinsuke was on top of New Japan a few years ago, and Seth Rollins was on top. And he's like, man, I wonder what Seth Rollins would do against Shinsuke Nakamura. Well, now you get to find out, but more than likely, it's going to end up Dean distracting Seth, and then Seth catching a knee to the face.
I'm going to go with Seth Rollins here, and the only reason I'm doing that is because I already had that picked before you said something. Once you said that you think Shinsuke will probably win because of a Dean Ambrose interference, I was like, damn, why didn't I think of that? So, but I'm gonna be the honorable man and not change my pick there, even though I think that's a very likely finish now that you say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Next we have what I'm predicting as the co-main event of the show, and that's Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. Have they said that this was the co-main event, or, I mean, am I at least safe in assuming that it will be?
WWE is very different. They never really announce what's going to be the main event before.
They don't,
or
do
what's going to go last. You know, just people guess.
Right.
You find out at the show. So I would call it the co-main event because they're, you know, they represent equality. But, yeah, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, I had this predicted as the WrestleMania main event. If this means I'm getting, if this means I get Becky and Ronda at WrestleMania, I appreciate Charlotte taking this bullet. Me personally, this is one of those ones I would do. I would end it in a schmoz. I would not end it in anyone winning.
Okay.
End it in them getting in a fight and the referee counting it out. And it just shows, you know, Charlotte pushes Ronda to the edge and Ronda doesn't win. That's what I would do. Save this result for another show, right?
Right.
But I think they're just going to go. I mean, Ronda's just going to win. I mean, I think Charlotte's going to take her. She's going to get a figure eight. And Ronda's going to kick out. And then at some point, she's going to get an armbar. Charlotte's going to take it longer than anybody else, but eventually tap out.
Yep, I also picked Ronda on there. I put in parentheses that you put neither, that your personal opinion was neither. So I will say that we will count that one correct for you if they end it in some sort of schmoz where, like, it's a double count out or something like that. We'll give you that one as well because I think that is a good prediction as well. But we both did pick Ronda on that one.
Yeah, I just think the women's division's in this state where the men's division used to be in. And it's just like you don't have a lot of people. So your truly big matches, like Charlotte and Asuka, don't give that to us now. Don't give us that. Don't give us that with 5 days build.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree.
Give us that when they get time to hate each other and cut promos and show up on the Today Show as co-guest or something like that. You know, that kind of thing.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I think that that's a money match right there. Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. Even though Becky's the biggest name in female wrestling right now, that is a big money match because Charlotte Flair is known around the world as one of the best female wrestlers in the WWE, and then Ronda Rousey is, you know, she's a household name, you know? That's a big money match. You can make a lot of money off that, so I would not be surprised if they did not give us the clean finish this time around, and they push it back where they have some serious build, pretty much like just what you said, you know? So would not surprise me a bit. It would actually be the smart thing to do, wouldn't you think?
No, yeah, that would be the smart thing to do. It's crazy that you could, you know, you could take a B-level pay-per-view, let's say a Backlash, and put this on it, it would sell it out.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's just such a good point, man.
You know, these big shows are going to sell out no matter what.
Right, right. Yeah, so you could headline a show with, you know, a B pay-per-view, basically what you said, yeah. And it would dang sure take up ticket sales, because I know I'd want to be there live.
Yeah.
We got the final match, man, which I think is a little weird because we didn't say AJ Styles' name. AJ is, as of right now, we do not believe that he's on the card. So, but the main event we predict is going to be the Raw champion, the Universal champion, Brock Lesnar, taking on the WWE champion, Daniel Bryan from SmackDown. What's your prediction, man?
Oh, Brock Lesnar. I honestly, I'm hoping no AJ interference. I hope Brock just wins, but I feel like AJ is going to have something to do with this.
Do you think this is going to be a good match, or is it going to be Brock Lesnar, you know?
Brock Lesnar only does one type of match.
F5 and German suplex?
Yeah, he only does one type of match. It's just, yeah, that's what he does. So he's gonna come out and suplex him, but I think Daniel Bryan will like kick him in the balls, and he'll get the advantage for a while, and then he'll eventually lose to F5.
So you think that Daniel Bryan will have like a glimmer of hope, or do you think it'll be a little bit closer to 50-50? Or
because he's healed Daniel Bryan now, so he's willing to cheat.
Gotcha.
So he'll kick him in the nuts and get it to an even match.
Let's make the main event a little, let's add a little something to it for it being the main event. What would you say if you had to guess how long the match will be from opening bell to ending bell? How long do you think the match will be?
He does respect people, certain wrestlers. So I think he respects Daniel Bryan, so I'm going to go 11 minutes, 30 seconds.
11:30, okay. 11:30 for Floyd. I'm going to say 8 minutes. 8 minutes even for me. And we'll just go who's the closest, over or under, it doesn't matter. Just who's the closest. So that one's just to make it interesting because we actually both did pick Brock, so that'll just be for fun. That won't count for anything.
I think AJ might replace Shane in that 5-on-5, though.
Oh, you think so?
I'm just saying it's AJ. And I'm just thinking, you're Shane McMahon and you want to win. Who's your better shot?
Yeah, yourself
or AJ. The guy that was just WWE champion for 370-some-odd days.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Well, that is our predictions for the weekend, man. That's going to be a fun-filled wrestling weekend. all weekend long. So we appreciate everyone tuning in. Floyd, why don't you tell us where you spend your weekends at, man?
I'll wrap up by saying, but like, dude, you can get your WrestleMania tickets today, watch TakeOver tomorrow, Survivor Series on Sunday, Raw on Monday, SmackDown on Tuesday, dude. And this week actually starts the Global Tag League if anybody watches New Japan Wrestling. So, yes, if you want to sit at home in your drawers and watch wrestling all weekend, you very much have that right to do that, especially with Postmates and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm throwing a shout out. So hopefully we can get some advertising dollars in here. No, you can catch me on the weekends. Around the Ring is what the show is called. It's me and my friend Ryan. We generally record and get the shows uploaded on Sunday. This week we're going to get this show ready a little early so we can have Ryan and my friend Dan's previews of TakeOver and Survivor Series. That's what's going to be different on the show. I'm pretty much going to kind of say the same thing I just said, but hey, you know what? Listen anyway. It's on thechairshot.com. Twitter, Facebook, Around the Ring, okay, or you can email us at aroundtheringokay@gmail.com.
Absolutely, dude. Phenomenal show. Everyone should be checking it out. Floyd and I appreciate everyone so, so very much for tuning in every single day. We truly appreciate it. We will be back around 10 a.m. on Monday morning. So everyone tune in then. Until then, enjoy your weekend. For Floyd and myself, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?